They've got to start from deep in there into the field, and Garrison Hurst takes advantage of it. He takes the handle, hits to his right, gets to the 20, he's at the 30, needs to cut in, he comes back up the right sideline, breaks the far tackle, comes down to the 30, he's out of the 20, he's out of the 10, he's out of the 5, he's in the end zone, touchdown, touchdown 49ers! 96-yard run from scrimmage, Garrison Hurst breaking tackle after tackle, sweeps down the sideline, throws off bodies like clothes after a marathon.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again, goes to the 40, gets away again, to the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 50, the 10. He died. Touchdown, 49ers.
Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking down in post, and it's good.
Second down, Ryan takes the snap, throws the flag to the left side. It's Russell, intercepted! The 49ers pick it, and Navarro Bowman is redemption! Navarro Bowman running it all the way for the touchdown! No greater redemption!
San Francisco 49ers, we can do whatever we want.
Click, click. Boom! What's going on, faithfuls? It's your boy Mike, and guys, it is day 7. We have made it a full week of March Madness. I apologize for being a couple of minutes late, guys. Had a couple of, we'll call them technical difficulties back here. You know, technical difficulties back here. But I am here. You guys have some questions loaded up, and we are gonna get to them right now. Shout out to everybody out there in the building. By the way, I also want to salute my guy, Steve, for sending me the shirt. Let me be clear with what I'm saying. Oh, y'all can't see the whole thing. I can't lean back far enough, but that's what it says on the shirt. Apparently, my favorite drunk phase, my favorite overreaction phrase, you know what I'm saying? So let's go ahead and get to the show, though. Danny Albright with the first question of the night. Danny, wait a second. Hold on. Hold on now. We got to do it the right way. Can't have the BAM show colors, the no harm, no foul colors. There we go. We got it. There's the color scheme I'm looking for right there. All right. He says, favorite card games you enjoy? My wife and I play Rummy, and believe it or not, I like when we do that more than when I play Spades. Spades is my favorite four-person game. I have heard that if I ever learn to play Bidwiz, I would never want to play Spades again. Haven't done it, but we'll see. We'll see. I got some people who are willing to teach me. I'll check that out eventually. But right now, my favorite two-person game to play, well, specifically with my wife, is Rummy. With the rules and regulations that we play with. And then Spades is my favorite four-card person game to play. Now, we do have this new game called Uno No Mercy. It is cutthroat. You know how, like, people play with, like, house rules and stuff? Don't with Uno No Mercy. Follow the rules in the book. The game is fun. It's competitive. It's completely cutthroat. It almost makes it so that skill is not a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's cards where you have to swap hands with a specific person. There's cards where everyone that's playing, the cards all rotate one time. There's a draw 10. There's a draw 6. You're allowed the top with the draws and make it just keep accumulating. And if you get 25 cards in your hand, you lose. And that happens often. So Uno No Mercy is quickly making its round toward the tops of my favorite card games. Much more fun and frustrating than regular and typical Uno. All right, regardless of your house rules. DJ Malone has a couple of draft questions, here. He says, "Miss me, Mike? Of course, DJ. Of course." He says, "How are you and the family doing?" "We are well. We are blessed. We just got a new car a couple days ago. The kids are finally not sick. My wife is getting over whatever was bothering her. I'm over my sickness from the week after the Super Bowl. We're doing good. Our dog was even sick. He had like an ear infection now that I think about it. And, he's even doing better. So, you know, we are blessed, man. We are doing really, really well. Thank you so much for asking." He said, "When I mentioned drafting 5 offensive linemen on day 1, joke. Do you think it would be wise to draft a new offensive line for Brock?" I don't know if we need an entirely new offensive line. We need a left tackle, we need a right tackle, and we need a center. Trent is here, but for how much longer? None of us know. I would like the Niners to get a guy either this year or next year that they can groom for when Trent decides that he wants to retire. Make him and let him play left tackle, period. Don't get him in here. Oh, maybe he can be the swing. Maybe he didn't. No. And it's okay if you have to sit him for you. Do him like you did Aaron Banks. You never had an intention of Aaron Banks beating out Lincoln Tomlinson or whoever was here, and you knew that he was going to be the guy for the following season. Do that with the left tackle. It's okay. We can have some patience for that. Just make sure he's secure on the roster and he doesn't go anywhere and go. Right tackle is an obvious need. And center. I like our guards. The right guard is a area of concern because they kind of have this rotation thing going, but we'll see how that shakes out, but I think we're going to be okay. And he says here, Eastern or Lexington style for pulled pork. All right, so Lexington style is like with the barbecue sauce, right? Like the tangy red sauce, finely shredded. And Eastern, they use the pork shoulder. I'm going with Lexington. Give me a red sauce that's going to mess up my acid reflux later on. I like the sweet, tangy, and the finer, the thinner it is, the more it's chopped up, the better it is for me. All right? Also, do you know anyone who adds flavor packets from noodles to popcorn? I don't think I do. I've seen people take the noodles raw, crush it up, take the flavor packet and like sprinkle it on top. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody do that on popcorn, man. That's different right there. That is a special question. I'm going to ask people this now. And so we'll see what anyone says. Is this something that you do, DJ? Will you be getting a red or white Devils jersey? I have to get red. If I do anything white, I'm going to get something on it. I don't wear a lot of white shirts and jerseys because I usually get something red on them. So I'm going to try not to do that. And then he says, or the third jersey with the word jersey on it. No, I'm not going to do that. Do you like fish tacos? I'm not much of an authentic taco person. I'll eat them like if we're going out somewhere. I've been to restaurants where it was like only tacos, like, and I'll go and get it and like I'll tolerate it. It's cool, but I don't really care for the authentic tacos, to be completely honest with you. I've had fish tacos, they're not bad, but tacos are tacos. Like the meat's never seasoned the way I want it to be, and you just kind of got to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Melissa chimes in. Okay, I see you. I see you. Mike, do you think Ross and Juice could both be off this roster? Yes. Yes, I do. And for good reason, right? Like Ross is always injured or not doing what we need him to do. Juice is being paid $7 million. And what's, I hate to say what's his role. I really like Juice, but this is going to be an off season where the Niners are getting down to brass tacks. Like this is business. It's not personal. That's where we're going to be this year. And the fullback position is going to be one that they're going to feel like they don't have to cater to. They don't need, especially at that price range, right? Like the price range for Juice is absolutely insane. And this is with a Niners team. What the heck am I doing over here? Like I'm getting shit in my eye. This is with a Niners team that is negative $7 million on some sites, negative $3 million on some sites, on other parts of the same site. Sorry, like Juice might have to be a cap casualty, man. He really might have to be. D Ford is no longer being paid. If you could use that money to keep any player here, who would it be and why? Easy, fast answer for me is Brandon Ayuk. I think he is the best wide receiver on the team. I think that if there happens to be more turnover at the quarterback position, a consistent wide receiver is going to be a quarterback's best friend. They will naturally have a rapport. We saw it happen with the insertion of Trey Lance, right? As soon as he came here, him and Brandon Ayuk immediately became friends. Debo's more of like a gimmick type of guy, gadget. I don't want to call him a gimmick. Gadget type of guy, in and around the line of scrimmage type of guy, where quarterbacks who like to throw are going to want a guy like Brandon Ayuk on the team. So Ayuk is a guy that I would definitely want to keep around. And then she says here, Mike, thoughts on Bryce Huff? If the Jets don't sign or tag him, Bryce Huff is the Alabama kid, if I'm not mistaken, defensive end or tackle. Let me see where he ended up playing. Let's do some. Bryce Huff. Okay, grew up in Opelika, Alabama. Born in Mobile. And was on the Jets in 2020. Played mostly special teams as a true freshman. Where did he play with the Jets is what I want to know. I thought he was an end. I could be wrong. Yes, he is a defensive end. He doesn't have like crazy stats or anything like that. He could be a good rotational guy. And obviously coming from the Jets would have familiarity with the system. He could be a guy that could come in here and have a little bit of a role carved out for him. But I would view him the same way that I view a guy like we currently have in Drake Jackson. I would call that a push. So if it's cheaper to keep Drake instead of bringing him in, I wouldn't do it. I don't think he's going to give us much more than Drake when active and healthy. All right. Thoughts on South Carolina, Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver. I haven't looked at him. I haven't looked at him at all, so I don't know. Is this the guy that Debo posted about in his story? Is this him? I thought it was a different position, but maybe it was a wide receiver. I don't know. But I saw Debo post about someone who ran like a... It was crazy. It was like they ran like a 4.7 something, and they ran like a 4.53 or something. Like it was a big difference in the 40s that they ran. And I think Debo posted that to his Instagram story, but I don't know if that's who you're talking about. So I'm not sure. Mike, you think D'Amador Lenore stays at nickel or outside? I hope they move him outside. Let's stop playing with the talent. Put him where we need him to go. Let them be who we need them to be. What will the Niners do? Whatever's better for them. They can save some money if they play him at nickel. They can also move around the draft board freely if they have D'Amador Lenore here and they know that we have an outside guy or an inside guy. Which corner is available? Which is the best type of corner that's available? We don't have to handcuff them to one. Like, D'Amador Lenore gives the Niners a lot of flexibility when looking at just prospects. So we're fortunate to have him and his skill set here. And we know the truth. They can start him at one position, but if they need him somewhere else because of injury or something like that, they're just going to move him. So it doesn't really matter what we prefer. I think he plays better outside, but I think he does a serviceable job inside as well. All right. Manuel says, what's good, Big Mike? How you doing, homie? Hope all is well out you, with you. All right. Let's see here. Okay, Mike, your cousin that thinks Luke Kuechly is better, what did he think of Patrick Willis getting in the Hall of Fame? And it was your boy, Bryant Young, who Patrick advocated for that let him know. All right, so I do know that Duck was very happy that Patrick Willis got in. And in fact, I think he was even more happy because he felt that it gave Luke a shot when they start to compare the careers of those guys. It was your boy, Bryant Young, who Patrick advocated for. Let him know. Yes. There were a lot of people who were going to bat for Bryant Young to get in. And I love the fact that it was Bryant Young who was the one to let Patrick Willis know, rang the doorbell. They surprised him and everything. It was great. It was absolutely great. I love that clip so much. Two of my favorite 49ers defensive players of all time. Those two guys are in my top five for 49ers defensive players that I personally love. So that was absolutely incredible. All right. If we were going to... if we were going to trade one person, who would it be? Who I would trade versus who the Niners would trade are probably two different things. I would trade Debo. And this is not an anti-Debo thing. I think there are a lot of young quarterbacks or new quarterbacks on new teams this upcoming season that would benefit from having a guy that they can check down to or get the ball to quickly, pad their stats, and get some serious production out of. I think Debo probably has the most trade value of any player on the 49ers. But who are the Niners likely to trade? It would probably actually be another wide receiver, but Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is viewed around the league as a number one type wide receiver, can run all the routes, good hands, can go out there and produce. And he's only getting $14 million this year. You have the flexibility of renegotiating a contract. You can make it even less than that this year. Brandon Ayuk probably has really, really high trade value and could probably be a plug-and-play guy on any team in any system. Knows how to run the routes, willing blocker, keeps his head down, just gets to work, and keeps it pushing. So it would probably be Brandon Ayuk if the Niners were to be the ones making the call. I don't know. She says, Mike, I wish Jersey had Cracker Barrel besides Parsippany. So far from me. Do you have any near you? I don't. There's a Cracker Barrel somewhere near me. And I've been. Oh, there's one in Hamilton, New Jersey. There's one in Hamilton, New Jersey. And I've been to that one. It was okay. Not my favorite, but, you know, wasn't terrible either. That's probably the one that I think is closest to me. All right. I'm going to answer one more here. Then we're going to get out of here. Should we prioritize our draft for offensive line? Free agency never has solid tackles. So Rick, you know, what you have to do is first, you have to create some cap space to be able to participate in free agency. Right now, the Niners are negative a couple million dollars. So free agency doesn't exist for us right now. The other thing is once you do create that cap space, and they will, you go out there and get who you think is going to be the best fit. I don't know that you go to free agency for guards. I think your guards' answers are already in-house. I'm sold on Aaron Banks. The right guard position wasn't terrible. We all know the play where Burford missed Chris Jones and just whiffed on a very, very important play that could have been game-winning drive for the Niners. We know how it all played out, right? But for the most part, the guard position isn't the biggest concern. We need a right tackle, and we need a center. And if you can find one of those guys in free agency, then you go out there in the draft. The problem is that with the draft, it doesn't matter how good you think a prospect is. He has zero NFL experience, and none of that college shit matters. No one likes talking about it. No one likes to admit it. But the truth of the matter is you can go out there and get the best tackle or the best center, and they could completely flake out in the NFL. It's a different game, different speed, different strengths, different schemes. It's not the same. And so I would prioritize offensive line in free agency. That's where I would prefer to get them. You go out there, you get the guys who you've seen do it at this level. And you can probably coach up or, you know, at least you know what their floor is going to be. The draft is a crapshoot. Doesn't matter if you're picking one or if you're picking, you know, 266. It's a crapshoot. You never know what you're going to get. You literally never know what you're going to get. Guys, that's going to do it. I hope you guys appreciate this show. Thank you all for your patience. We went a little bit over time. We started a little bit later, and I played the intro. So I'm going to get out of here. And I'm also going to play an outro. Prepare for glory. Anticipate pain, but always remain faithful. See you guys tomorrow. Peace.
We all gas, no brakes, pumped up, no fakes. We spinning, we winning, we high stakes. We never miss, we all makes. Look at us dudes trying to prove, bringing you news with nothing to lose. Mike, Nick, Tony, Wayne, Method Man, we bring the pain. Hey. See, I'ma confess it. We under the pressure. If you looking to find us, we them nothing but niners.
Niners. We nothing but Niners. We nothing but Niners. We nothing but Niners.